CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com on Monday morning. Ah, there's Leanne Moll. She's alive.
What?
Out of the dark and into the light.
What happened there? Did you have an unscheduled power interruption?
Yes, indeed.
Beautiful.
Hit me rudely at a quarter to the hour.
Oh, my God.
But with enough residents logging, lobbying together and logging complaints, we are back.
Well, I'm very happy. You see, Tumi was talking earlier about how resilient South Africans are. We're like, yeah, well, power interruptions. We'll just carry on. We've got shit to do, people to see, places to go. It's good, good stuff. I thought, like, Dr. Hanan made a really interesting point just now. You know, we often think about how we're doing someone a favor. But if you're giving someone something they don't need, you might actually be pissing them off. Like, it's such a... Because often, you know, we think about giving. This has really blown my mind, in case you haven't picked up on this. But, like, when we think we're giving someone something, like, let's say you give a friend, I don't know, a pen. But they haven't used a pen in ages because they're in front of their laptop the whole time or something. It's just, you think you're doing them a favor. You think you're being generous and kind. But actually, you're pissing them off. They're like, I don't need this thing. It's just going to clutter up my day and make me irritated. Right?
100%.
Yeah, and then you don't understand why they're upset. Like, or not upset, why they're not thanking you. Because also, you know, you get those people who, you've done something they didn't ask you for.
Right.
And then you're upset that they didn't appreciate it. And they're like, but I didn't need it.
Right.
You know.
I remember being at school, in high school, and at the time, not that any of them work, anti-cellulite creams were all the rage. And they just like hit the market with these massage plastic things with spikes and, you know, became all very popular and they were super expensive and luxurious items. Mm. And so when it came around to... birthday time, I bought my friend one of these.
Oh, shit.
Look, in hindsight, okay, but I was only about 15.
Uh-oh.
But her face when she opened it, oh, God, I felt so bad. But we used to walk around saying, oh, I wish we could have this. I wish we could buy it, you know. This is like new miracle cream. Yeah, so that was a bad one.
Listen,
a good one.
Yeah, you can't be giving people stuff like that. I heard the worst story the other day about this guy who was in a client meeting with one of his clients, and the client had the same name as someone on the staff at the business, and the person on the staff at the business had just found out that she was pregnant, and somebody said to one of the like directors of the company, you know, Dumi's pregnant. And so this guy walks up to the client who's not pregnant and rubs her belly like this and goes, congratulations. But the client is not, she's just fat. And this is an important client of theirs. You know, you gotta be so careful.
It's 2022, nearly 2023. And unless you are like the person's sister or mother, you don't go around rubbing pregnant bellies anymore, you know?
No, but look, with fairness, this happened a long time ago. It's become one of those legendary stories. This was back in the day where that was acceptable. He's not that much of a creep that he's walking around rubbing women's stomachs.
Back in the day, it was like you almost had to do it. It was a sign of
you actually cared.
Acceptance and caring and, you know, I'm really so happy for you. We are. It was a thing, right?
How's that?
When, guys?
Oh, Baba.
When? I'm just asking. I'm a pop three. When this back in the day was happening, where you just randomly rub a pregnant woman's tummy, because we hate that. I'm yet to meet one pregnant woman who says, oh, yeah, I miss it so much. And people just rub my baby. It's the best. Nobody wraps my baby anymore.
No.
I don't think it's ever been a thing, guys.
Carl says, just putting you in your place, Leanne, you went to school in the South. Nothing you say counts.
Yeah. We were obsessed with touching people's pregnant bellies in the South.
Yeah, that's what you guys used to do. Sanele says, that's the dirty South, Brew. That's what it is.
Yeah. He's it.
Man.
He's it.
Someone was we got into this whole conversation on Friday about how we don't see Unos on the road anymore. And then I got, I got so many messages from people during the show. And then afterwards, I got emails of people sending me like photographs of Unos saying, no, look, we still get Unos here in Mayerton or wherever else it was.
Yes.
Yes.
So my high school boyfriend had an Uno Turbo.
Ah, right.
A black Uno Turbo with red seats and a nice big exhaust.
Ooh.
And they were actually, hey? Oh. Black with a nice exhaust, big exhaust. And funnily enough, tall. And the problem with the design of this car was that it was actually too tall for stability. Yeah, it didn't work out. So the Uno, specifically the Uno Turbo, because it was a little bit faster, had a warning signal on the dashboard that would come up when you were taking corners and the car was about to roll.
Oh, my God.
And the way you drove these, I mean, you were only cool if that light came on every time you took a corner.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Insane. I remember being afraid to drive one because I'd just moved to Joburg and I was looking for my first car. And I swear, I had this image in my head of guys carrying my car off. I just used to go, like, it's too late. I really am worried that it just needs to be lifted over my gate and it's over. So I was just like, I can't. I mean, that's really, it looked, you know why? Because when we were in high school, there was a teacher we hated, this Afrikaans teacher. And so we took her Uno and we turned it and between two cars that were parked. So when she came, she couldn't go forward or backwards. She lost it. Like, she lost it. Like,
that's so funny. Oh, God, I love that.
Yeah, and that's beautiful, yeah. So they couldn't suspend us. It was like, the year's over.
you all picked up her car and just turned it, like, parallel. Yes. That's so good.
Yes.
God, I love that.
Yes. So I was scared that, you know what, if we could do that as kids, what are you going to do, you know?
Oh, my gosh. Look at George Meany's comments. Mm-hmm. That scares me. He says, yes, it was a Brayton, referring to the Uno.
Yeah, but hang on.
And says, two down, that's why they all crashed. Oh, my parents must have been so proud of my lifestyle back then.
But do you remember your first car? I mean, my first car was like a City Golf. No, it wasn't even a City Golf. It was an old City Golf. It had been my mother's or something, and then I got this, but I obviously had to pay it off now, because now I didn't get this for free. And I had to pay it off, and there was no air conditioning. You know, all the stuff that we like take for granted now. You still had to wind the windows like this. And if it had been in the sun, you used to have those. Do you remember those things that we used to put on our windscreens so that we could protect the dashboard?
Mm-hmm. Reflective.
You remember those things?
Yeah. Otherwise, the dashboard would crack.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it had like three. There were only three things on there, and the radio where the face would detach. Because they were stealing they stole our car radios. So we used to have to take the face off and like put it in our in our bag, and then, you know, you'd take it with you. Unbelievable.
Also, mine, I had the City Shuttle.
Ah, right.
And you'd have to pull out the throttle when you had to warm up the car.
Yeah,
like you'd go and start it in the driveway, brush your teeth, and then come back in so that you could go.
Wow.
Well,
I remember having to roll with antifreeze with my car so that it didn't overheat. And I used to get very confused. I'm like, why is it antifreeze if it's keeping my car from boiling? But anyway, because mine was a Corolla, Toyota Corolla 1990 model with sound from Aldo's. There was no boot space, just amps.
Wow.
I cried like a baby when I sold that car. No, I cried. I was so emotional.
I was way more emotional about my first car than I was about my more expensive car later on. You know, when I got rid of that one, I didn't give a damn. But that first car, you feel some kind of attachment there. You're like, oh, this is so special. Yeah. It was the first car I ever had. I used to go to Varsity in this. Oh, man.
Yeah.
But they were...
First are special, man.
They were really shit cars compared to what we get now. And I mean, you know, George and I talk about this sometimes on a Friday morning. But if you buy a car now, even the cheapest car now, which, first of all, is much more expensive than the cheapest car back then. But you get, like, electric windows, air conditioning, almost
airbags.
Like airbags. But you also get these like, really complex – and these complex entertainment systems, which, you know, before, you didn't get any of that stuff. Like, if your car came standard, it was so standard, like, it was – basically just the mechanics of the car, and then everything else was like going to cost you extra.
Yeah, but now it's a cock-up because there's a computer involved. Mm-hmm. Now, one small thing's wrong on the dashboard, the whole car is going. I do miss, though, that before it would be like, okay, that thing's wrong, but I can still drive my car. Now it's like, yo, there's one glitch, and that glitch is going to glitch everything else.
Correct.
So now you must leave the car. So there's that downside to it, you know? But also miss the workout. I think that's why we are such a big nation, an unhealthy nation, because driving used to be an exercise as well. We've got thigh workouts.
Yeah.
You know, we've got
shoulders.
Shoulders. Now it's just sit there and just...
Do you know how many people I know who are younger than me and have never driven a manual car? They've only ever driven automatic. They don't know how to drive a manual car. If they have to rent a car, for example, they go to, you know, Durban or Cape Town or something, they have to get an automatic because they've never driven a manual car before. They wouldn't know what to do with it. They've never used the clutch and all that stuff. So this is, this is pretty wild stuff if you think about it. We're talking in one generation. It's changed that much.
I think manuals are nice, especially for racing. It's nicer to race when I've only done it on a track.
Yeah.
Just for the record, Gareth, I see you laughing, but I do find it's much nicer to race in a manual than it is in an automatic.
Oh, definitely, much more control.
I imagine Dumi at the robots going in an old Corolla. Did you say it was a Corolla or a Cressida? What was it? I'm picturing Dumi with her massive sound system in the back going at the robot, and then she pulls up next to you and she goes, "Hey." You wind, and now I'm winding down my Chico, my window. Hey, do me, Gareth. And then we go, and the wheels spin, and we go through the traffic lights. Jesus, what we had to do to entertain ourselves once. I do have to ask you this. You girls, have you ever heard a guy with a very loud sound system in a car and have thought, oh, I just want to marry him. That's the hottest thing ever, 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 ever. Because there's...
Yeah, when I was 12.
Yeah, but there are guys who genuinely think that is the thing that's going to snag them the most beautiful girl in the world. It's like, if I just have more volume on my shit music, and it's always shit music. Right next to the traffic
lights. I'm so over it.
Come on.
I don't like, I hate having other people's music forced into my ears.
No, well, that's what they
their
do.
Their choice of music.
Yeah. It's usually
you know
shit.
What I mean?
Yeah. No, for sure. All right, so.
I'm sorry, I still get warm.
You still like it?
Oh, yeah?
Oh, okay. So I wondered who these people were. Now I know. There she is, everybody. Take a look at that face. That's who the person is who started this whole thing of like, oh, that music has to be extra loud so I can attract the hot chicks. Oh my god!
It's like a mating call.
Yeah. So Sanella says, did you guys ever have a steering lock, the one that locked your brake pedal?
I did. And
the gorilla.
It's like twist them.
It was called a gorilla arm.
Yes, a gorilla. Yes.
And it was red. And it had like red plastic on it, and the one end was like a U shape that you would click into the steering wheel. No.
Yes.
And then the other piece would go down.
I had the knockoff that was turquoise, and yet it had like a corkscrew at the end, and you had to twist it around the steering wheel. But then the criminals learned how to drive with those things still on. Like,
Oh, wow. I had that at Locknuts. Hey, the things you have to do to protect your car.
Yeah, and listen, joking atheist is right. The gear lock was very effective. Just recently, my dad's got this old panel van that he uses. We call it the dog car. And it was parked outside my house. Someone tried to steal it. They'd ripped the car apart trying to get it started. The only thing they couldn't get off was the gear lock. That saved it.
The gear lock. Wow. Jesus. This is really, I mean, we must sound so old to anyone who, like, you know, George says rightly here, there are no bad cars now. And he also says the arm always on the windowsill in those cars. Always one arm.
Yes.
One arm has to hang out of the car if you're driving one of those cars. And if you've got a big sound.
Even better, it must hang out the back door, the back window.
Because
your seat's so far back.
That's quite something, eh? Sure.
Can I offer that there are bad cars? I remember getting to a car, one of those car rental places, and they had no more cars left. And they gave me what I believe they called an I something, but it was tiny. It was like I'm driving a shack. From Brumfontein and Tabanj. It was fine in town. It was tiny. It was shaky. But on the highway, every single car that went past the car went, woo! Every little bit of, woo! That's a car. I was so nervous.
Oh, no. That's horrible. Off the road.
That's unbelievable.
I hired a car overseas once, and I went to go and visit a very wealthy family living in Wimbledon. And when I pulled into their long gravel driveway, you're supposed to be arriving in like a Rolls Royce or something. And I had this little black round car.
Oh, right.
It looked like a kettle. And I remember when I had to start it to leave, everyone was in hysterics because it went to start.
Listen,
and back down the stone driveway I went, passing all the deer.
One of my favorite things are those cars that backfire, and they suddenly go pop pop. It's always so embarrassing for the people driving it. Pa pa pa.
You still hear those in Rosetta?
Yeah.
And they're obviously.
Oh yes. Oh yeah,
Rosettenville.
Listen, that happens. That happens everywhere. I promise you. I'm in Parktown North, and I can hear that happening on a Friday night.
Vrpa.
And the wheel spinning and drag racing—it's just like all over.
God, but
I remember my friends of the family had a very old car, and there was always something wrong with it. So when they left, they would inevitably be pushing it up a hill so that they could, jump start it on the way down. But at one stage, their hooter was broken, and we just go off randomly. And they were, those days when you stood in the driveway and you waved goodbye until they left.
Yeah.
And as they were leaving, it went doot doot as they were waving. And they phoned us to say, just to let you know, we didn't hoot. It was so appropriate.
So driving a transformer.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. No, there's some, you are right, Dumi. There are some really crap cars, though. I mean, even what we mean is that they're not. You get a lot more for your money now than I think you got in those days. You got a mechanical thing that could get you from A to B, as people used to say. But now, you get like the climate control and the entertainment system and all of that stuff in even the littlest cars. It's unbelievable. Windscreen wipers. I mean, I used to have to replace my windscreen wipers, the thing, because the rubber would deteriorate. Do you remember? And then you would be, but it wouldn't get rid of any of the water. Like the water would just stay where it was.
It's also because we were the kids in the family, so we got the outside parking that wasn't undercover. So right. Everything would deteriorate faster.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, I mean, I remember those cars now. And
fortunate kids.
I don't have any nostalgia. Hey? I mean, I do not want to go back. And there was nothing fun about what you said earlier, like starting your car and then going to brush your teeth and then getting back in because now the engine's warmed up a little bit and that kind of shit. But we're lucky we don't live in these very cold countries where you also have to deal with snow. Because people, I've heard horror stories of how people didn't leave their windscreen wipers at this angle so that the snow actually broke them. Or they have to get out into their driveway first thing in the morning and actually get rid of the snow so they can drive their car out onto the street. They have to salt it or whatever else they have to do. I mean, listen, we have more or less around the year conditions, except when it rains very hard suddenly. Then we've obviously got, you know, flooding and that kind of thing. But we don't have snow and ice the way that they do in the Northern Hemisphere. And thank God. I mean, it would make it impossible. Imagine first thing you do, you wake up in the morning and you have to go out in like a snowman and you have to go and shovel snow so you can get your car out so you can go to work.
Hang on a moment. I remember very often as a child on the way to school, I'd have to go out with warm water in a bucket and clean off our windscreens because of the
ice,
the frost, the ice. How come that doesn't happen anymore? I mean, I know we've got George in the chat. Yeah. Is it some different composite they're using on the windows? It doesn't happen anymore, right?
Right. Must be.
Or someone else is doing the de-icing, Leanne, because you're not the kid in the family anymore. It's got warm water in the bucket. But apparently, apparently people actually pay to have their cars modified so they can backfire like that. Bah!
Oh my God!
It makes sense because like I said in Rosettenville, it does definitely doesn't sound like an accident. So it's doof doof, and then
yeah,
that's wonderful.
Joking Atheist says designed obsolescence is absolutely implemented in cars today. Old cars lasted longer than my grandparents back in those days. And you still see, like, you know, we were laughing about the Crescent, which I know, you know, when you talk about, that's a great, like, that was the car. Do you remember that story? I was actually in Cape Town this weekend. And I was explaining to someone because I went on a little walk through Cape Town and I saw City Hall. You know, when Mandela was released, they took him to City Hall to make his first ever speech. And it was him and Winnie. And I remember Cyril, who's our current president, well, for now, Cyril had a old Merc, one of those old Mercedes-Benz. You know those long ones? And Cyril...
Like ships.
And Winnie and Madiba only knew... Like Cyril had, out of all their friends and colleagues... He had the best car, so he came to fetch them from that famous moment where they walked out of the prison, Groot Drakenstein prison, you know, and they're walking together, fists raised. And then after that, they had to go from there to Cape Town because all the people were waiting in Cape Town. And Cyril gave them a lift in his old Merc all the way to the City Hall. I mean, it's a famous story in his car. So, you know, we think about like South Africa in the 80s, and remember – all the government people used to drive those Mercs as well. A Mercedes was like, that was what they all, that was the powerful politician's car, you know?
Yeah. Then in 94, it became the X5s.
No, what was
Tony? It became the tender cars.
Yeah, what was Tony Yengeni's, was that an X5?
Yeah.
The famous
those
car.
Those were the big ones then.
We used to call it a Yengeni.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
We did.
I remember that because he was the first one who got a special deal on his Yengeni, remember? Unbelievable.
Yeah.
But yeah, some of those cars are still around and they're probably in better condition than cars that are 5 years old in some places.
It's like the metal was better because they were heavier.
Yeah.
They were heavier.
Right.
Yeah.
I love this. I didn't know that I was going to come onto the show this morning and with two girls, we'd be talking about cars for half an hour. I like this. This is great. Beautiful. All right. So Leanne's got a couple of things she wants to talk about. Apparently, there's a house in Fishhook that is called the Christmas Lighthouse. What's this all about?
Yeah. Did anyone know about this? I mean, I lived in the next suburb But I see now that it only started 6 years ago.
Okay.
So it must have started just when I left, and I hadn't heard of it before. But it's this little house in the unassuming town of Fishhook along the coast. And this guy has gone out of his way. He actually lived in, I think it was in the States for a while. So that's when he started collecting his lights that are, you know, from the US. You get specific lights there that are absolutely amazing. And that's why everyone's houses in the US look so amazing around Christmas time. Mm-hmm. And he's applied this to his own home. And he starts weeks before. I think it's 4 to 6 weeks he starts before Christmas and starts laying these lights all over the garden, up the trees, over the house. And it's quite a thing. People go there now to see it during Christmas time. But what's been happening is if he turns them off, which of course he has to, I mean, especially with the price of electricity at the moment.
Of course, yeah.
People hoot at late at night, usually like booze-filled, fueled cars of people who are hooting to have the lights put back on, and they're disturbing the entire neighborhood. So this year they've sent out a plea saying, you know, we really don't want to come across as harsh, but we can't have this sort of behavior because people are going to tell us to take this stuff down. It won't be any longer.
You know,
people
will ruin anything. Here's this guy who's made this house very pretty for the children to be like wowed and amazed. And it looks like something from the movies. And now he must not only foot the bill for like all that electricity, but also probably gets blamed when there's load shedding. Your lights, we've come all the way to see this, and now your lights are off. So this poor dude is probably having the worst time. There's a street in Pretoria, in Watercliff, where all the houses, I think they've just kind of peer pressured each other now into, like, everyone decorates their houses beautifully and their lights and all kinds of things. It's a certain neighborhood, and people do, like Ruth says, Lawley Street. People actually, like, go down the street in this parade of traffic just to see all these beautiful houses. So that's quite cute. There are neighborhoods where they make this effort.
Yeah. So just to give you an idea, it costs him 1,500 Rand a week to have the lights running. However, they have used the house to raise funds for good causes.
Okay.
So that's quite a good thing. But if you want to know and you want to see and you don't want to hoot, it's in Lady Grey Street in Fishhook. It's about a block away from the False Bay Hospital. And now they've had to give certain times. So they will be on from 8 to 10 at night. And on Fridays and Saturdays, it'll be on until 11. And then they'll end on Christmas Day.
Wow. I mean, people really should pay. I mean, if you're going to drive past there, there should be like a little box you could put a 50 Rand in.
Yeah.
So this guy can afford the electricity. I mean, it's not fair for him to have to pay just because he's entertaining people. But I like that.
Yeah, I know someone's going to take off with that box.
Well, that's also, correct. I mean, you know, just like you were saying how resilient we are and how, you know, we can always pull a fast one and fix things. We could also steal and lie and complain when the lights aren't on. And why aren't your lights that you're paying for on for me to be entertained? Jeez, it's unreal. Well, apparently there is an entire Pacific country that is going to upload itself into the metaverse as the world's first digital nation. Now, I was at a launch on Wednesday. And they told me that there's property in Decentraland that I can buy. Now, this is not property that actually exists in the real world. This is in the metaverse. And this guy was trying to persuade me that I need to buy some property there. And I said to him, but can I live there? He's like, yeah, your avatar can live there. I'm like, no. Can I live there? Like, can I go to sleep in a bed in the metaverse and sleep as well as I would in my own? He's like, no, sorry, you can't do that. So then I didn't understand, and I just said, I think I'm going to need another drink. And I left. but this guy was convinced that this was something that he could sell me. And Dumi, I can see you shaking your head. You don't own any property in the metaverse, do you?
No, no, I'm just concerned because I feel like NFTs have now gone Super Saiyan. So now the whole entire nation's, guys.
Mm-mm. No, man, I don't understand this stuff.
So the reason why they're doing this is because, okay, so firstly, it's a little island nation. It's an archipelago of 9 islands in the Pacific.
That's all right.
And it's called Tuvalu, or I've also heard it pronounced Tuvalu.
Yes.
And it's actually each year becoming, you know, more and more engulfed by water. So at high tide now, about 40% of its capital is underwater.
Shame.
So experts have said that the whole island nation will probably be uninhabitable within the next 50 years. So they haven't got a lot of time, 50 to 100 years, putting it at 80. And these islands are like full of culture. And obviously a lot of dance and music and food culture, mm-hmm. a lot of history. So that the, to give you an idea where they are, they're kind of halfway between Hawaii and Australia. The total land area is about 10 square miles.
All right.
And the seas are rising and starting to cover these little islands. So they're starting to lose population, history, and the culture that's specifically known on these islands will be wiped out completely. So I think it's the foreign minister has done is made a pledge to put them, move Tuvalu into the metaverse. So the reason why they're doing that is to recreate the islands in the metaverse where you can go and experience Tuvalu at the way it was. So that's alive for generations to come, the remaining generations who still live on the island. And know what the island was like, where their ancestors were from.
That's
quite sad, actually.
It is, but it's not going to make anyone feel better. So two things I know about Tuvalu is that they made most of their money in the dot-com boom because their dot, you know, we've got .co.za or .za mm-hmm. or .whatever. They've got .tv and a whole lot of media companies were buying up .tv addresses that were selling for a fortune. So that's where Tuvalu made a lot of money.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But, I mean, this is not going to help people. So you recreate the island in the metaverse. But like I said earlier, you can't go to sleep in your bed in the metaverse. You can't go to your fridge, your fridge in the metaverse and eat. These poor people, now they've lost their island or their island is slowly being covered in water. And then they're going to what? Have to put on a pair of 3D virtual reality goggles so that they can...
You're physically homeless, but virtually covered.
Please.
It's just for it's just for an experience so that you can revisit an island, even if it's in your eyes and head, that doesn't exist anymore.
It's not going to help anybody. Pennies. Yeah, you don't. I don't see how this is going to property in the metaverse. Okay, great. If you've got like money to burn, it's like as Dumi said, NFTs. You want to go and spend some money on that stuff. You go for it. But for those of us who are like worried about the paycheck at the end of the month and the rest of it, there's no metaverse calculation in that. I'm terribly sorry.
I feel like only that today, Gareth. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Continue.
Certainly a playground for the richer and more daring people with a little bit of money to burn. You know.
All right. So Leanne, I've got a bit of a fact check for you here. I'm sorry to do this in real time, but apparently there's a peer-reviewed study which used satellite imagery to measure Tuvalu's changing land area over 4 decades. So here we go. University of Auckland has published this research. It says between 1971 and 2014, it showed the country grew by more than 73 hectares or 2.9%. Each period of the study experienced net increases in land area, including the most recent decade. Of their individual islands, 73 had increased in land, while only 28 had decreased. Just one had eroded entirely.
Yeah, so it was one question that I had when reading the story. I looked at a few articles as well. They say, although the islands have actually increased in size, the sea levels have been rising at approximately twice the global average. So, yeah, that's where the disparity comes in.
This is why people go, oh, you know, climate change, blah, 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 and they get into arguments. It's exactly this kind of stuff. Like one report says this, the other report says the other. I mean, I haven't heard of that many people who are, I'm not really like subscribed to Tuvalu news sites, so I can't say I've really spent a lot of time thinking about this. But if people are actually drowning and the islands are going underwater, it sounds like a bit of alarmism to me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, even when the foreign minister delivered the speech, he was filmed. It was a little bit gimmicky. He was filmed with his feet in the water as he stood at a podium with the flags behind him. So yes, absolutely, it could be alarmist. Let's see. You know, this we'll probably see in our lifetimes how it develops and how it changes.
Usher,
because if they say it's as soon as 50 years that it'll be completely under.
You know? Well, I mean, Al Gore told us, what, 20 years ago, when his stupid movie came out, he was like, all the polar bears are going to be dead, and there's going to be, and Venice will be completely submerged underwater, and most of the eastern coast of the United States will also be underwater. But I'm still going to buy some beach property. Al Gore. Fucking Al Gore. So Asha says, who's going to explain the metaverse to those people who actually live on the island? Oh, my God. Yeah, that's true.
No, I've thought about that too. It's pretty crazy. But it's for tourists and you know, historians and things like that.
Yeah. What did you do this weekend, Leanne? We only just saw you now. So what's been going on? What did you get up to? Have you started your December properly?
I had a very admin-y weekend. As you know, I'm still in the process of selling my home.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of paper signing and, you know, some papers still have to be signed in person. Hey?
Have you got your room? Right. Is your room at the old age home already? They've got it for you, right?
Yes. No, it's all ready to go.
Okay, good. And the frail care's right next door, right?
As I put in a bun on top of my head.
Yes, go.
They've just got to move the cats over, which is quite a mission.
Oh, I understand.
It'll take a few trips.
Okay, all right, very good. So depressing. Oh, by the way,
not there yet.
I was meant while we're talking about this this whole Tuvalu thing. This is what the world looks like to fish. If they were the ones mapping the world, this is what the world would look like to them. Because remember, for them, the sea is the land. So they're only interested in where, like, they can't go, which is like this. So
the land.
Yeah. So if you look at the map of the world and you look at it from the point of view of a fish, then Africa is this big ass island. Australia is this big ass island. Antarctica and Greenland are big ass islands. And everything else is like this big outside area. It's like a big, like the edges,
insignificant.
It's the border. Edges of the container, and so I think this is kind of mind bending because you imagine the first fish to like cross through the Panama Canal, and they're like, "My God, guys, you'll never believe! I went all the way around. There's a passage through." I mean, isn't that wild? I think that's quite cool.
That is crazy.
But that also shows you how. Because it was a bit of a mind bend for us as well in being in South Africa or in Africa. We always have Africa Central on the map.
Mm-hmm.
So to imagine Tuvalu or Tuvalu between Australia and Hawaii was a bit like,
Yeah, exactly.
Because our maps centered differently.
Right.
But I like that sort of insignificant border of the US and Europe where it likes front and center.
Yeah, we're in the middle of it. I like that too. And the fish will think Africa is important because they can go almost all the way around us, but not so for the other places. So to fish, we are still the center of the universe. I just want to point that out.
When you first showed me that, I thought it was because, you know, a fish's eyes are on either side of its body. So it was seeing like one photograph and then splicing the rest of it together.
Yeah. They've started an argument now about climate change in the comments. So I'm not even going to go there. I did not intend for that to happen. The reason I brought it up is because we were talking about these sinking islands, which turns out are not sinking. So let's just, everybody calm down, all right? We don't need to get into this. Please.
But it is real.
Yeah. Tracy says flat earthers must be losing their shit. Oh, my God. Have you ever met like a flat earther, someone who honestly, genuinely believes that that's how it all works? I haven't.
No.
So I don't know how many.
Are they real?
There can't be a lot of them.
Do they exist?
I don't know, but wherever they are, I haven't encountered them. So I'm obviously, you know, maybe I'm just not cool enough for them to even talk to.
No, man. You know, with some of these things, I feel like there are people who have a perspective just because they know it's going to make them stand out and it's going to force conversation with people. And I go, you don't really believe this, do you? You're actually doing this so that.
You're trolling.
Yeah. And I know I'll get into trouble for saying that because I want to be like, yeah. But I mean, you know there are those people.
Absolutely, there are. All right. So, Christmas decorations, you will have seen I've got like the little Christmas tree in the background here, and I put that up specially because I like things to be festive for all of us as we head into the festive season, and I like the idea, and you know, we're going to play some Christmas music some of the time and all the rest of it too. This is what I like to do. When do you officially start with your stuff, Dumi and Leanne?
We start at the beginning of December. And I must say, I'm enjoying the bottles more than the tree, Gareth.
I like that, huh? Notice that.
The green bottles, that is enchanting. It's a key part, in fact, you know, of Christmas. Very and it's funny because I've become the minister of the tree. Like, honestly, my husband knows better than to put up the tree. He's like, we'll wait for mom. Even if the kids are like, yeah, so like now I'm in South Africa, they're in the US, we have the tree. We've got the start of decorations. And unfortunately, this time, we didn't get to finish putting it up because I had to leave.
Yeah.
But no one's going to finish it until I'm there. It like, if you do that, then you're ruining Christmas.
So are you back there on the what, 15th, 16th?
Christmas bully. Yes, yes. I have to be there. Listen, because it's my birthday on the 22nd.
Uh-huh.
And then it's Christmas on the 25th. So I have to be home in time for both. Otherwise, my kids will probably, like, sell me.
Well, I mean, listen, you work hard, and this just shows you, like, here you are working, you're slogging away in South Africa while all of them are waiting for you to come and put up the Christmas tree and slog some more over on that side. But do you feel hard done by that your birthday is on the 22nd of December? Because it means you only get one present.
Yeah, but I didn't grow up getting Christmas presents. So, like, it's not a thing. Christmas presents became a thing after I met this dude who lives a very, I'll just say, he lives like a white person. His family are cousin, they're white, okay, they're white. They've been exchanging gifts since time immemorial, and they're very Catholic, so Christmas is a thing.
Okay.
So I got introduced to Christmas gifts when I started dating him. So growing up, it's never been part of my reality. So, no, I was just excited that on top of Christmas clothes, I'm getting a present. Because, you know, we all get Christmas clothes at Christmas. And then, so for me, it was like I get something extra, you know?
That's nice.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I feel sorry for people whose birthdays are around Christmas. Because I always think, they just get caught up in the whole Christmas thing and nobody really makes a fuss of them for their birthdays.
No.
My dad is on Christmas Day.
Oof.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's hard.
Yeah, my dad's on Christmas Day. No, but the thing is, when I say my dad, I don't mean Jesus. I mean the other dad. he enjoys the day. He thinks that it's all about him, really. I think he has the most fabulous birthday ever because it's always a day off. There's always a lot of food, a lot of family, everyone doing everything else for him. He just kind of stands around and pokes the turkey or the gammon. Yeah, he loves it. And we always make sure we give him two presents, and we do wrap the birthday one in birthday paper.
Okay.
We found that that's quite important.
You have to go to a little bit more trouble.
That's cool.
That's nice.
Yeah.
All right, so here's Sivan. He says, GC, you actually had a flat earther on the show. I'd forgotten about that. It was probably about 2, maybe 3 years ago. And this guy actually challenged anyone in the audience. He said you could have a Bitcoin if you could prove the Earth wasn't flat. And I mean, we've got proof. Like, how about every satellite that is busy orbiting the Earth? How about every picture? How about every picture of the Earth from space? How about gravity for a start, and the spin of the Earth, and how come the sun comes up and goes down east to west? It's just, there's so many. He's like, yeah. This guy was no, that's bullshit.
How come everything in space is spherical? The moon, the sun, the other planets.
No, he says. He said we live on a disc, and you talk about that fish map that we showed earlier, where you would see the world like a fish would see it, with the ocean being the major part of it, and you know, the land on the outside just being the borders. So this guy sees the Earth, this flat earther, and I'm trying to remember now because it was a long time ago, but he sees it all as a disc, and Antarctica is around the outside, and beyond that,
okay, instead
he doesn't
of,
know.
Yeah.
He doesn't know. I mean, it's crazy. And you know, this stuff actually hurts my brain first thing on a Monday. But if you want to listen to that interview, it's still up on cliffcentral.com. And I'm glad Sivan just reminded us about it. So thanks, dude.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. All right. Well, there's some people here talking about, I need Christmas clothes. So someone came up with this idea. And I think it comes from American movies. And maybe, Dumi, you're going to go back and have to deal with this. But you know those Christmas sweaters? Those, like, big, loud, Merry Christmas, you know, with reindeer and Christmas balls and all of that stuff on the front. Those things are actually very cool, but they're completely impractical in South Africa. You could never wear any of those here. It's much too hot. You'd be sweating, be very uncomfortable, be dreadful, right?
Imagine that around the braai.
But you guys understand the concept of Christmas clothes, though.
Tell me what.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me what we mean here, because maybe that's not. I was just immediately thinking of those Christmas sweaters.
No, because growing up as kids, we'd get clothes that we wear over Christmas.
Oh.
But for a lot of, yeah, but for historically, especially for people of color, the history of Christmas clothes is that migrant workers would only be able to come home over Christmas for that break. So you would get, that's when they bring the kids' uniform, kids' clothing, supplies for the home and all of that. So you would get your clothes for the year that's coming. But the first time you wear those clothes would be over Christmas. So they were your Christmas clothes, you know? And then, of course, as the migration lessened and lessened, you got special clothes over Christmas that you only wear at Christmas. Like, you know, and it's painful for us as a kid because, you know, your mother fits you these clothes in like November, October, during some sale. And then you visit the wardrobe and talk to this dress every day until Christmas comes. I'm going to love you so much.
Oh,
I'm going to love with you because you can't touch it. Or, you know, or they've been lay-buying it for 6 months and you're only getting to wear it over Christmas. But yeah, the origins is, you know, migrant workers, you could only buy their kids' clothing at the end of the year. And that's when their kids would go get those clothes. And it's like, it's your Christmas clothes, you know.
Well, Joking Atheist says, because it's so hot here, we need Christmas Speedos.
Yes, I'm here for all of it.
You like that, huh?
All of them in Christmas Speedos, I beg.
Yeah.
Put the one horn in the front and the other in the back.
Ooh, okay. Something like that. Okay.
Steph says, the other day I heard my first All I Want for Christmas Is You. Oh, there comes Mariah.
How have you survived this long? Oh, I thought you meant like ever.
No, she's coming. All right, everybody. Well, I'm afraid that's all we got time for today. Listen, Dumi, it's so good to see you, and we'll catch up with you again soon. Love to your family when you get to go back, and don't work too hard while you're here. And As, we will see you on Monday next week, right?
See you then.
All right, beautiful. Everybody, have a lovely day, and we will catch up with you on the morrow, 6 o'clock, bright and early. Be good. Cheers, everybody. Bye-bye. CliffCentral.com